Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are back for another worship service. Thank you, Song Ministry. Thank you, Children's Ministry. And just thank you for everyone who has supported us during this time. I want to continue on in the series that Brianna kicked off for us, Never Say Never. Great series, and Angel did a tremendous job last week preaching the word, and I want to continue in that same spirit. Never say never when Jesus is Lord. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity to read into your word. And God, most of all, thank you for the opportunity to live a life that brings glory to you. And I pray, dear God, that each and every one of us can evaluate our lordship, our discipleship, and not evaluate it to feel bad, but to make decisions in areas we need to pin, in the areas we need to grow, so we can realize because you are Lord of our life, it'll never be the same. We love you, Father, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's where it all begins. That's the starting point. At that point, when we have studied the Bible, we have counted the cost, and we've decided, I love Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, then we make that good confession that Jesus is Lord. That's when we, as disciples, understand we never say never. We never say never, because we don't know how God's Spirit is going to work in our lives. Let me tell you something. I've been doing this now for over 35 years. And I love having a relationship with God. And I've grown to appreciate the mountaintop experiences and the valleys. And you know, today I want to speak to you as a man who's done this a while, who was a 24-year-old kid, realizing, you know what, I want to go deeper in my walk with God. I always have had a love for God. But after studying the Bible and counting the cost and realizing that there was a calling for discipleship, I decided, you know what? I am going to do this. And as I look back over my life, I could summarize it with this. Those daily decisions make a difference. Those daily decisions make a difference. You know, in Angel's sermon last week, he read 2 Chronicles 16:9, and that's one of my favorite scriptures. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If we have decided that we really want to have a relationship with God, we're not in this on our own. You know, God gives us his Spirit, but not only that, God is constantly looking for ways to encourage us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to strengthen us, that we don't have to try to live this life alone or on our own strength. You know, it's never the same. It's never the same. And my life has never been the same since I made that confession. I'm far from perfect. I have blown it. I have dropped the ball. I have messed up. I have sinned. You name it, over 35-year plus walk, I have done it. But one thing I can honestly say, I have no desire to quit. Never thought about quitting, because I really believe Jesus is Lord. And if we really deep down inside believe Jesus is Lord, it's okay to struggle, because you will struggle. It's okay to have bad days, because you will have bad days. It's okay to be in a season of you don't know how you're going to get through it. But the way we get through it is remembering that Jesus is Lord. You know, I want to share some thoughts with you, some practices that I put into put into my life. And, you know, some of this is going to sound archaic. Some of this is going to sound outdated. Some of this is going to sound like he is from another time and place, because we live in a world that is constantly trying to fit Jesus into its mold instead of changing our lives to become more like Jesus. So I just want to speak to you as your older brother in the Lord, as a man who has done this for a while, and I just want to help us to reset. You know, we've had 18 months of having our own discipling. Most of us have spent 18 months in our heads. And, you know, there comes a point in time where we got to step beyond ourselves. We got to even step outside of our friend group. And we have to got to reevaluate how are we doing spiritually. So we're going to spend most of our time today in Romans chapter 12. You know, Paul taught our early brothers and sisters that lordship is a daily decision. Lordship is a daily decision. It is not an easy decision. It doesn't feel good all the time, but you know, it is a daily decision. He said, and dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Paul told the early church there, you know what? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's another translation. Why? Because of all that God has done for us. Let's think of all the mercies that God has displayed in our lives. We have justification from guilt and the penalty of sin. We've been adopted into Christ, and we have a new identification with Christ. We've been placed under grace, not the law. We've been given the Holy Spirit as a part of us to live in us. God promised that he will help us in our time of need. We have confidence that we will never be separated from the love of God. No matter what happens, no matter there's no crisis, there's no individual, neither angels nor demons can separate us from the love of God. And we have confidence in God's continued faithfulness. We have confidence in God's continued faithfulness in the view of God's mercies, in view of what God has already given to us, then we offer our bodies, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You go back to the first century, our early brothers and sisters understood this whole concept of sacrifice. They were coming out of the Jewish tradition, and pagans around them were still offering sacrifices. So Paul is saying, you know what? God doesn't need another goat. He doesn't need another sheep. He doesn't need another lamb or pigeon. In view of how much God loves us, we give back to God by being a living sacrifice. I'll be honest with you, it would be easy if it was one and done. It would be so easy. At that initial point of making our decision to follow Jesus, we made changes, we let friends go, we did all the right stuff for a week, and then we could go back and do whatever we wanted to do. But Paul said, through the Holy Spirit, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. I heard someone say years ago, the challenge with a living sacrifice is we keep trying to get off the altar. We keep trying to figure out ways how we can have a relationship with God without sacrifice. I know what it's like. I've been there. I'm tempted to do that at times. But then we as individuals have to go back and look at what God has done in our lives. You know, he goes on to teach the church there some more concepts. He says, because when you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, ask yourself a question. Is God pleased with my life? Is God pleased with the sacrifice that I am bringing to him? If not, repent. It's that simple. Repent. That's who we are striving to please, God. Holy and pleasing. That is the spiritual act of worship. Worship has somehow been condensed to what we do for a couple of hours on Sunday. Oh, I worshiped today. You know, the singing was great. The fellowship was great. The sermon was great. And all that is a part of worship. But worship is what we do outside of the building, outside of the circle of believers. Worship is the way we carry ourselves, the way we interact with the world on when it's us, God, and the world, which is most of the time. When it's us, God, and the world. And what God is saying, you know what? I want you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, pleasing me. That's really worship. That's worship. You know, as a young disciple, I had to learn what true worship was. I had grown up religious, and I understood you go to church on Sunday, and you know, you serve, you sing in the choir, you usher. You do those things which are fine. That's a part of worship. But worship also means that I get up in the morning, I read my Bible, I set my mind to what do I need to do to bring glory to God. You know, I was having a blast as a young disciple living in Tallahassee, and I had this occasion where I had to fly with my mom to Harlem because her aunt had passed away. And she asked me to accompany her. So there I go, you know, just had become a disciple. I went with my mom. We flew into Jersey, and somebody picked us up. We went on over to Harlem to take care of affairs. And I remember riding into Harlem and seeing snow that was gray. I grew up in the South. I thought snow stayed white. It was gray. It was brown. It was yellow. And New York City in the late 80s was filthy. I mean, there was trash everywhere. And I'm like, you know what? I could never live here. So after the funeral, we jumped on that plane. We came back to Jacksonville, Florida. We stepped off that plane. It was nice and sunny. And I said, you know what? I love it being a disciple in Florida. Man, this is amazing. Lo and behold, I had said, I will never live here. God said, yes, you will. And one day when I had relocated to New York City, and I was walking through Harlem, right around the corner where we live, my wife and I live on 138th Street. I look up, and that's the very building that my aunt had lived in. And I said, huh, I said I would never. But when you offer your body as a living sacrifice, you can't say never, because you never know what assignment God will give you. God had an assignment for me. God himself designed my life, designed your life. And God said, no, you're going to go live in New York City. You're going to go. You're going to be in the Bronx. You're going to go. You're going to be in Harlem. You are going to go and serve. God had designed that life for me. And let me tell you something. If I had stuck to what I thought was best, I would have missed out. I would not have met Sean Reed. Beautiful woman who loves God. Who loves God. Who's in love with God, who loves me, who's in love with me, who has stood by my side, and we have fought in these trenches together. She was in the Bronx. I would have missed out on having two great kids, Alexis and Joe. If I had followed through on my plan, I would have missed out on being in a dynamic teen ministry in the South Bronx. I would have missed out on the opportunities that we had in Harlem to see hundreds and hundreds of people coming to hear the gospel and seeing their lives change and the lives of their children. I would have missed so much if I had stuck with my plan and not allowed God's plan to work. We, once we become disciples, our time belongs to God. We don't say, I'm never going to do that with my time. Our treasures belongs to God. We don't say, I'm never going to do that with my money. Our talents belong to God. We don't say, I'm not doing that for the church, but we're really saying, I'm not. Don't people ain't using me. When Jesus is Lord, we lay it on the altar and we say, Lord, whatever you want to do, however you want to move, use, I'm open to it, because our characters are molded. So much of my character was molded and shaped and changed. Because when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are constantly learning the importance of surrender. the importance of letting go. I can remember when we were given the assignment to go lead Harlem, and this is not the gentrified Harlem. This is not the gentrified. I'm talking about the Harlem that was hit hard with crack, where it was like the Walking Dead. That was our assignment. And I remember talking to the brother, saying, you know, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go where there's college students. You know, I'd rather go to another side of town. That was my heart. Nah, I don't want to do that. Nah, I never do that. Nah, that's not me. And he said something that made me think, you know what they need more than anything else? They just need someone who's going to love them. So even when we initially say, I don't want to do that, we got to have the humility to allow ourselves to be challenged. And we have to take it back to God. You know, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Another verse says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brothers and sisters, what is transforming us? What's transforming us? What is renewing our minds? You know, the problem with many people in the world, and sometimes even with us as Christians, we live our lives based on feelings. We live our lives based on how do I feel today determines how committed to God I will be today. How do I feel about my job determines, will I be a disciple on the job? How do I feel about my marriage determines, even if I'm going to stay in that marriage? How do I feel about my kids determine how much I'm going to give to my kids? How do I feel? So much of the world's thinking is based around, what do I want to do? That's Luke 9:23. Jesus, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. It's not how do we feel. I don't feel like reading my Bible some days. I don't feel like sharing my faith some days. I don't feel like denying myself of sin some days. I don't feel like it. It's not like I wake up in the morning, super Christian, I'm just going to do everything that God wants me to do. I don't feel it. But when is life about what we feel? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over feelings. Jesus is Lord over lust. Jesus is Lord over desire. Jesus is Lord over selfishness. That's how we start seeing that transformation and that renewing of our mind when we put it in the right perspective. Let me tell you, there's so many things I have not felt like doing. I remember my wife is amazing. You know, you make sure you find a spiritual partner. My wife is just spiritual. So she's in the South Bronx there working with the teenagers, loving them, girl, telling me all them stories. And like, you ought to come join me. I'm like, I don't want to work with teenagers. Because in my mind, I had my plan, what I thought I would do and how I would learn the ministry. And, you know, I'd rather work with older people. And then, you know, I was asked to go to the teen ministry. You know what? I'm like, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Then I had to repent. And because I did repent, I grew. I grew as a person. I matured. I learned to love on a deeper level and serve on a deeper level. And you know what? I was able to find one of my best friends we're still great friends today, Marcos Mercado. Now, what if I had just stuck to my guns and said, I'm not doing it that way. And woman, if you're going to be with me, you're coming over here and you did it. I would have missed out. One thing I want us to understand, there's a pattern here. When we make Jesus Lord, there's blessings in the sacrifice. There are blessings in the sacrifice when we make it about Jesus. Feelings. There's so many feelings going on right now, even as we're in this pandemic. And we have come up with all these ideas and concepts about church. You know, well, let me say this, and I'll go back to that. You know, when we give into feelings alone, usually we make bad decisions. When we allow feelings to become the standard then we set ourselves up. Now, some of us, we go from the feelings category to, well, doing. I don't really want to go deep in a relationship with God to tell me what I need to do to be good enough as a member. Just give me, preacher, just tell me what to do. Give me that 3-point sermon so I can make it through the week. Tell me how to serve. Tell me who to date. Tell me what to do. And you know what? God has taken all that away. You get this one little virtual service, but now it's not about doing. So what am I saying? Our Christian walk can't be simply feelings or duty. Some of us are bound to duty. We will do, but then when the next preacher comes along and say, you don't have to do that. Well, oh, okay. You don't have to do that. When the standard is lowered or changed, well, oh, I'm good. What am I saying? We have to make the Bible the standard. When Jesus is Lord, his word is the standard. That is what transforms our mind. That is what renews us, is the word of God. Now, whether or not you are coming to in-person church, you got to work that out with God. But let me tell you this. We are the church. Wherever you go, you're the church. How are you doing? Being the light, being salt. We said, you as an individual, me as an individual, we said Jesus is Lord. How have we lived out lordship, our discipleship, these last couple of years? That's the confession we make. That is the confession we made. And let me tell you this. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And that was a quote by Dr. King. Let me tell you, I think that is so appropriate to what we're going through now. We have had challenge. We have had controversy. Is so much going on. And that's just the world. But let me tell you, there are times challenge and controversy will happen in the church. Satan himself is our enemy. Satan himself will go on the rampage. And if a ministry is dynamic, if a ministry is growing, if a ministry is helping people, the devil is out there to sit on the side and say, baptize more people. Make more disciples. No, Satan gets in the mix. And that also is a test of where we are in our walk with God. You know, I have had the good fortune of being in a room with thousands of people singing. Glorious singing. Great preaching, dynamic fellowship, people smiling and happy, and it's like, wow, this is a party you don't want to end. And at the same time, I've had times not too long ago, I didn't know who was coming to church. Just a couple of rows of people there. As people wandering, trying to figure out their faith. And you know, it's in those times of challenges and controversies that our lordship is tested. There was a point in time, probably about halfway through 15, been in ministry 30 years, about at a 15-year mark, I'm like, you know, I'm tired. I really could do something else. I was done. I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I know I had said Jesus is Lord, and I could be a disciple and not have to be a minister. So, okay, I had the reason, I had the rationale, I had worked it all out in my brain. I can't do this thing no more. I'm tired of church people. Love God, but I just don't want to be bothered with church people. Never the same. Never say never when Jesus is Lord. As I was getting ready to transition out, God put this young brother in my life. Got an Angel Maldonado. He said, will you train me for the ministry? I'm like, oh, gosh. Angel I had met at the church, he preached about that last week. You know, he was there in his white tee and his Timberlands. He was a thug. Yes, I remember. I had just come from the Bronx, so I'm like, well, I understand him. And, you know, I was in grad school. I couldn't type. And I'm as we were fellowshiping, I said, brother, can you type? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, well, let's hang. So I would write papers, he would type them. I would write papers, he would type. We started talking about spiritual things. Then he talked about how much he loved God. I'm like, okay. Then he talked about how much he wants to serve God. I'm like, okay. Then he says, what did you do in New York? And I explained everything to him. He said, will you teach me? And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Why would you even want the ministry? We had that conversation. Why would you want the ministry? And he shared his conviction. He shared his conviction. And we ended up here in Atlanta, Georgia. That we've been partners in the gospel ever since. And you know, there have been times when it's been dynamic and exciting, like when we first stepped on Morehouse campus. Say, hey, we're going to build something here. One of the first guys we met was a guy named Chase Nance at the bookstore. What if I had said no to Angel? I don't know if Angel would have ended up in Atlanta, Georgia. So, hey, we meet Chase Nance, and then it's guy after guy after guy after guy, and it's growing, and it's dynamic, and we're having a blast, and it's starting to be fun again, and then boom! Satan gets angry again. But that time around, I'm like, I know what God is going to do. This is a spiritual battle. Jesus is Lord. So I'm going to keep doing what I know is right. Then I got hit personally. Got hard. Older brother got sick with cancer. Had never gone through anything like that before in my life. And it took everything I had some days just to make it through the day. And just in the valley, it just was hard. I love my older brother. It just was hard watching him suffer, watching my family suffer. And I was there in Tallahassee visiting my brother, and I just had to go run out and take a little break. And, you know, went to church there, met a young man, and he was excited to meet me and wanted to have some fellowship. And I said, okay, sure, we set up some time. But you know, when you just emotionally drain, you're worn out, the last thing you want to do as a Christian is give, because you have given everything you got. And I had this brother's number, and I was getting ready to text and cancel the appointment we had set up, and something said, go through with it. That was with Dr. Ed Jackson. Sometimes when you're in the valley and you push through their blessings in the valley, they're just blessings. And I have countless stories of when, as a disciple, I said, you know what, Jesus is Lord. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm thinking. But you know what? Jesus is Lord. And that's what I want to leave us with as I wrap it up. John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How are we doing holding on to the teachings of Jesus? You know, lordship, discipleship, Christian living, salvation is only for those who are willing to obey. It's not about what the church thinks. It's not about what the pastor thinks. It's not about what your wife thinks. It's not about what your husband thinks. It's not about what's convenient. What are the times saying these days? What is the world saying? All of that is irrelevant. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To my brothers and sisters, let's repent. Let's get back on track. Let's start doing whatever we need to do so we can stand before God saying, I try to be a disciple because Jesus is Lord. And if you're visiting with us today, you don't know where you are in your walk with God, please spend some time studying the Bible with someone, because it only matters what Jesus thinks. That's all that matters. what Jesus thinks. And we get an opportunity every Sunday to be reminded of the importance of Jesus, the role that Jesus himself should play in our lives. It's through our communion. You know, we take that bread that represents the body that was broken, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed, and we take a few moments of our time to stop, to reevaluate, to allow our minds to be reconfigured. Why do we do what we do? Because Jesus did it first. He became a sacrifice that died. He died. God brought him back to life. So he's asking us now, I don't need you to die. I just need you to live. And that's what we're going to do. Let's go to God in prayer. Father and God, we come before you right now, God, and we're so grateful and thankful, God, that you love us. You have shown us so much mercy, so much goodness, God. You have been better to us than we deserve. And most of all, you allowed your son to die on the cross so that we could have an opportunity at salvation. Thank you for the body that was broken, dear God, that you allowed your son to sacrifice himself. Thank you so much for the blood that was shed, that you allow that blood to wash away our sins. And I pray, dear God, that we will allow today to be a new day. We love you so much, Father. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.